Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, how long does it really take to build muscle, and is there such a thing as a quick fix when it comes to exercise and getting healthy? Should you really be pushing yourself in the gym to do more reps, or is it a case of just extending the evening stroll? Dr. Fiona Skelly, lecturer in the Technological University of the Shannon in Athlone, joins us now. Fiona, how are you today?
Good. Thanks so much for having me, Tom.
Thank you, Fiona. It is hard to get your head around it, Fiona. You know, how hard to go with these things and what kind of system you should have in place for trying to make yourself as fit and healthy a person as you can be. On the New York Times one, that idea that, you know, how to get body mass, how long does it really take to, you know, body muscle? How long does it take, and is it something you really have to do?
Well, I'll start by saying that, yes, it should be important that everyone's doing some kind of form of resistance training, but it doesn't have to be in the gym, lifting weights, dumbbells, kettlebells, things like that. Bodyweight exercises, yoga, Pilates, they're all really good forms of resistance training. So I suppose it's important for people to recognize that when they're doing those kind of exercises, that they're benefiting their health and their muscular health and all that kind of stuff as well.
What about the people who don't do any of those things? Is there any hope for them if someone just walks their dog?
It's still really good to be active, but I suppose our guidelines in Ireland is that you do some kind of muscle strengthening exercises that incorporate all the major muscle groups in your body. So some part of your legs, your arms, your back, that kind of stuff. And you should be doing it on 2 days a week. But as I said, if that's 15 minutes at home with no equipment, doing squats, lunges, a couple of bodyweight stuff, or if that's a yoga or Pilates class, that's totally fine as well.
You can't really keep bringing this back to the dog, I know. But, you know, if you just walk the dog an extra 15 minutes, will that help?
Yeah, well, that's still good. Like, every little bit of exercise helps. So if there's even research out there that shows even doing 1 minute extra a day is actually having a positive impact on your health. So I think people maybe underestimate those little bouts of exercise, and even getting up and walking around from your desk for 5 minutes or 2 minutes even, how impactful that is. So if that's what you can squeeze in and that's all you can do, that's still really important.
I think, though, people would like to squeeze more in. I think, you know, everyone, you do read all the stories about leading longer, healthier lives. You're thinking, you know, no matter what it is, you might be, you know, decades ahead of you. But is there a minimum number of minutes a week or, you know, intensity levels you should be aiming at?
Yeah, so the guidelines are that you should aim to do 2.5 hours, or that's 150 minutes of moderate intensity exercise every week. That's aerobic exercise. That's walking, cycling, swimming, any of those kind of exercises that get your heart rate up. And yeah, by moderate intensity, it doesn't need to be like a gut busting run or anything like that. Just something that gets you slightly breathless, gets your heart rate up, maybe sweating a little bit. And a guideline that we often use is that you can talk, but you mightn't be able to sing, but you can still talk during that kind of bout of exercise.
Okay, that's heavy enough, isn't it? I mean, if you're, you know, not, if just barely able to talk, it's not quite leisurely then, is it?
Well, not like you could probably have a conversation with someone, but not that you could talk really comfortably.
Right.
So yeah, I suppose just you're slightly breathless.
Okay, and that's, if that's 150 minutes a week, that's roughly 5 half hours.
Roughly, yeah, but you don't have to do it in a half hour bout. If that's literally 151 minute bouts, that's actually still the exact same thing.
Okay.
And I suppose that's kind of a benchmark. If you currently do a lot less than that, and that seems like a big goal for you, every little bit extra is still giving you a benefit. So it's important that people don't think, oh, like, well, I don't do that much, so me doing anything isn't worth it. If you even do 5 minutes more, 10 minutes more, you're still getting a lot of the benefit.
Right. So 30 minutes, I'm just thinking, I mean, I think that's very doable, you know, but is it enough? Do I then have to kind of go, look, I'm not really, you know, there's no resistance element to this. Do I then need to factor that into it as well?
Yeah, I suppose like these are what we call maybe the ideal scenario, that people are doing the 150 minutes of moderate and their two kind of resistance exercise bouts as well. But people just need to work with what time availability they have and what they can get in, and not to be hard on themselves if you're doing 1 day of resistance and, you know, 90 minutes of aerobic exercise every week, you're still doing a really good job.
You can't help but look, when I saw bits of the mini marathon yesterday, and it's great to see, it really is great to see. But I have to say, for people who don't run, and I think I have to represent those people, not everyone runs. I know it might come as a shock. It can actually be the opposite of motivational. You can kind of look at them and think, I'm never going to be able to do that.
Yeah, for sure. Like, and I think there's lots of positives and negatives to how much activity and sport and stuff is promoted on social media. But I mean, I always just like to remember there's always going to be someone faster, fitter, better. Even the elite athletes, they're looking up at someone who's faster, fitter, better than them. So, you know, it's really important that you might never run a 10K or you might walk a 10K. It doesn't matter. And to try and not compare to other people, because there'll be always people, I suppose, ahead of you on the journey and things like that.
Right. I have a few of our listeners getting in touch. Might feel similarly astray at the moment. A listener says, a 52-year-old male here, Tom, would this lady recommend websites maybe to check out a few weekly kettlebell routines to help with strength? Are those kind of things out there?
Yeah, there is lots of stuff. Like, I really like what The Body Coach, you know, he's a UK kind of fitness. He has really accessible home-based videos, all different lengths. So a lot of them can just be found for free on YouTube. And like, a lot of people do depend on someone just being on a screen or someone being in front of them and telling them what to do. And that's perfectly fine.
Absolutely.
So I probably would. Yeah, I would definitely like support using those kind of things as well.
Yeah, someone telling you what to do, I think, is it's worth its weight in gold. Another listener saying, I find cycling great with cardio and I have good legs. However, my upper body is metabolically knackered. Have you any thoughts, please?
I don't know if metabolically knackered, like if someone's cycling, they are using their heart and they are using their lungs and they are pumping blood all around their body. So they're definitely doing something really good for their health. Like if they want to incorporate a little bit of upper body resistance training, strength training with weights or with body weights, like things like push-ups, that probably would be good. But they're definitely, like, cycling will target your full body, definitely in terms of your aerobic fitness.
Right, so it should catch up. The upper body should catch up eventually, should it?
Yeah, yeah. They're still strengthening their heart and their lungs and their blood is pumping all around their body. So it's definitely going to be.
Are there people who might be just genetically not cut out for that kind of exercise?
There is a genetic predisposition. I was at a talk recently where they estimated, I suppose, that people's maybe sporting ability is 45% genetically predisposed.
Yeah.
So, for example, some people will respond really well to endurance type training and they'll train for things like 10Ks and half marathons and achieve really good results. And someone could do the exact same training and not reap the same benefits. So that definitely does exist. But there is still, I suppose, that other 55%, which is over half. And that all does come down to training and environment and all that kind of stuff.
What if you're one of the ones that it's not responding for? What do you do then?
I think you keep doing it. Like you might not be the best, but I think that only really comes into play when we're looking at elite athletes and Olympians. But anyone who's exercising for their own health or just for day-to-day enjoyment, I don't think they need to worry too much if they're genetically predisposed to being a runner or a power lifter or that kind of stuff.
Right. They might feel a bit embarrassed by being in the slow readers club for a lot of it. I'm trying to think how to keep them motivated. There's a lot as you go on, particularly as you go older, there's so much more things you just need to be aware of, don't you?
Yeah, like in our guidelines in Ireland, after the age of 65, we do say you should start doing some balance work. It's not mentioned in our guidelines, but mobility work is really important as well. So just if your goals are to live long and like live healthily and like prevent any health complications as you age, any type of activity and finding the activity that you enjoy the most, I think is the most important part.
Finding an activity you enjoy the most, that seems to be the absolute key, isn't it? God,
yes, for sure.
Now, I hate to throw this in so late in the day, but it is June, the beginning, and there might be someone listening thinking about their beach bodies. Have they left that too late?
Well, nobody's ever left it too late, but I would always try maybe steer away from body composition as like a goal, because technically like that, if it's a holiday or something that they're aiming for, as soon as the holiday is over, they might have the motivation to stay active. And I also was at another talk recently that was saying we should really focus on the short-term benefits of exercise, like the day-to-day benefits, more so than a long-term goal. So for example, you should be getting your walk in today because you know it'll make you feel good today. And like for the rest of the day, you will feel more productive and you might sleep better tonight rather than getting up to do your walk because in 5 weeks you're going on a holiday. To maybe just shift your perspective on the reason I'm doing this walk is because today I will feel better. And then tomorrow I'll do another walk because I'll feel better tomorrow, which I thought was a really nice way to, I suppose, think about it.
Yeah, absolutely. No, 100%. How quickly do you feel an improvement or start seeing improvement in how you feel as well? Not just how your body is in terms of fitness, but how your mental health is.
Well, slightly different that, but physiologically, we get benefits from being active immediately after every single bout. Something is happening in our body that's good for us. I would say like generally as soon as you start exercise or as soon as you finish, it can be quite different for some people that they will start to feel better. I've even heard some people anecdotally say that once they even put their runners on or once they put their exercise gear on, they start to feel better before they've even started to do it. So that probably is a little bit individual, but I definitely think it will come very quickly that you'll feel the benefits of being active.
Right. Is there a reverse to that, that if you don't do anything for whatever reason, to get into a rut, that it's getting harder and harder to break that?
Yeah, like that does, is it like if you snooze, you lose? Kind of if you do stop being active, physiologically, our adaptations will start to reverse. But like people's lives change, things come up, they have busy periods. But the good thing is, you know, if I really enjoy running and I have to stop it for 6 months, I will get back into my routine a little bit quicker because I have a bit of that predisposition for it. So I guess people like that just happens in life. You're not always going to be able to keep the exact same exercise routine for your whole life, and that's fine, and things come up, but you can definitely get back into it.
Yeah, people can lose the will to the desire can go away, and then they can feel like I've left too late, now I can't get back to doing it again. But you can always get back to doing it again, can't you?
Yeah, I feel like much the same with like food. If you're eating the same food every day, you would eventually get bored of it and then you might come back to it. So not being afraid to change your exercise routine if you're getting bored of it or it's not being as enjoyable and things like that. You're not going to do the same thing your whole life, and that's totally fine.
One of our listeners on the, because I keep mentioning the dog, is suggesting that if you want to introduce some resistance training to walking the dog, you could consider carrying the dog.
Yeah, that's still good as well. And I think particularly for like families, like moms and dads of new babies, they're doing loads of resistance training because they're carrying their child and things like that, carrying groceries, gardening, kind of some other like household maybe jobs that you could be doing do actually incorporate resistance training. So they all actually do count as well.
Right. If anyone sees me carrying a dog, they're going to know why, aren't they?
Yeah.
Fiona, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you indeed. Fiona Scalia, lecturer in physical activity. You can keep your suggestions coming, please. You'll do well to beat the dog one, though.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.